December 20th, 2017. It's actually going to be the last Patriot Power Hour of 2017. My fellow co-host and I are going to take next week off for Christmas and whatnot. But we'll be back in 2018 to hit it hard. But this is the sixth episode of Patriot Power Hour. Again, December 20th, 2017. The day the tax reform bills passed, or the bill passed in both the House and the Senate. I believe Trump is waiting until tomorrow to sign it. That was the last I heard. So he's taking an extra day to sign it on December 21st, I guess. You know, probably some numerical significance behind that. If you want to get into the conspiracy, I don't know why else he would wait. We'll get into that, though, definitely. Last week, we kind of previewed a little bit of what this tax bill entails, but we'll hit it a lot harder here today, a lot more details into that. We've got, of course, crypto news. We got geopolitical news, even a little nature and science and weather type news. I got two listener questions. I'm extremely excited to put those out in one of our segments and get to some of the questions that the listeners gave to us. I also got a little contest, not a trivia contest, because trivia contests are kind of mundane these days with the ability to Google everything, of course. But it's just going to be simply who wants it most or just who responds quickest. So again, later in the show, I'm going to give away pretty much first come, first serve. I'm giving away free Bitcoin and free Bitcoin Cash. And we'll talk a little bit about what Bitcoin Cash is today, but I'm giving away some of both currencies, cryptocurrencies that is, at the pretty much the very end of the show. You will have to listen for the whole show to get to that, or fast forward if it's a podcast, I suppose. But look forward to all that. Look forward to, who knows where we're going to head. But before I get further down the road, let me bring on my fellow host of Patriot Power Hour, Future Dan of FutureDanger.com. You there, sir?
I am, Ben. How are you?
I'm doing good. I'm really excited to give away some Bitcoin Cash. Not a whole bunch, but enough to make it worthwhile. So I look forward to that.
Some fractions of some digital currency, huh?
Yeah, some, you know, thousands of fractions. But it's still worth, you know, 30, 40 Federal Reserve notes. Not bad.
Yeah, it's a nice little prize for our first listeners calling in, interacting.
Yes, sir. So we're going to pretty much have that bounty out. Well, heck, let's go ahead and open up the phone lines. The first bounty, the first Bitcoin bounty for any live listeners, will be the first caller that calls in and interacts. And we're also going to have a write-in, kind of a contest, or just we want some of the, you know, other people, the first person that sends in questions, reviews, other things. So we got that going on. And I got questions from last week. Got two questions for us to go over as well. So we're getting some momentum here on Patriot Power Hour, buddy.
Yeah, let's do it. So what's the chief topics of concern tonight, right before the Christmas, New Year's, and end of 2017?
Well, I think one thing we're definitely going to have to do is look at 2017 and review to some degree. But I think we got to finish with start with the news of the day, the whole tax bill and whatnot. And we broke it down some last week, but what are your thoughts on that?
Yeah, I think what I said last week is that this, in all likelihood, is going to be supply-side rocket fuel to an economy that hasn't had a healthy growth spurt since, you know, honestly, since the 90s. The beginning of the 2000s, there was growth under, you know, I think in George W. Bush's first, going into his second term, but of course then we had the collapse. So, you know, the idea that we could see 4 or 5% growth for many consecutive quarters is perfectly legitimate speculation from where I stand.
Well, a lot of people are saying, at least in one article I was reading, had a couple different analysts were putting forth the thought that, hey, look, stock market's been pricing in this tax cut since Trump has come into office, and that's why we've seen the booming stock market and decent economic measures. Now, I won't go down this too much. I think most of that growth still comes from all the debt and 0% interest rates. But you got to admit, there's definitely been a Trump effect for what it's worth from the economic. And a lot of people think it's from those tax cuts, but the tax that was already, it's already baked in though. So a lot of people are thinking, eh, it's, you know, we've already seen a lot of that growth from that already. What have you done for me lately? It's almost like once you pass the tax cuts, it's like, okay, we already knew that was happening. What's next? So I'm hoping, I'm definitely hoping. I don't know if it'll be rocket fuel, but I'll just take some, you know, 87 octane or whatever. I'll take whatever it can, whatever we can to keep things moving along, you know, and tax cuts are great.
Yeah, just confiscating less wealth from the productive part of the economy, the private sector, is, you know, always in a direction that's, you know, towards, you know, sanity and safety and away from tyranny and going off the rails. But as you've seen, you know, these types of things can have side effects. Did they get the taxes right? Did they tweak them in the proper way? Or did they, you know, leave some things in there that, you know, just foment bubbles or allow bubbles that have been latent to just pop? I don't know. But if you can run 4 or 5% growth quarter after quarter, a lot of those other things pale in comparison. They're kind of less of a problem when the all, you know, all tides are rising.
There's really no reason why we shouldn't be growing 5% plus, given all the technology that we have access to and have developed. Maybe we've plateaued a little bit on the new technology and internet, but on the flip side, we've barely even scratched the surface of what we can do with all the technology, internet, computers, whatnot that we've developed in the last 20, 30, 40 years. So there's no reason really that we shouldn't be growing at 5 or 10%, to be honest. Of course, you got to worry about growing too fast occasionally. But I think that's also BS to some degree. We got to be smart about it. But yeah, we got to really dig into this tax bill to look deeper than just the personal brackets and the corporate tax. But those two alone, you know, like you said, those that'll give some average people some decent tax breaks. So hopefully that'll turn some more economic productivity.
The part that's going to be fascinating is to the degree to which the GOP tax writing experts figured out how to attack their opponent's donor base. The Obama presidency, for all intents and purposes, the general conventional understanding is those campaigns, especially the first one in 2008, had the ability to draw in small cash donations from that block of voters that were inclined to elect him. And I've been listening to some talk show radio, and also, you know, watching social media. There's a potential that they figured out how to really stick it to wealthy blue state Democrats. They may have figured out a way that, for example, you know, teachers, families that both members, earners are teachers in high income areas in mostly Democratic states. I'm hearing people coming on to talk radio saying that this is going to hurt them. They get nothing. And it makes you think. Has the tax code been changed to wield a tax into donor bases? And that on its face is scary. Whether or not the party wielding the power right now aligns with most of your points of view most of the time, these are the types of things that get turned around 4 to 8 to 12 years later and get used right in the other direction. And it makes me wonder, with the inability to deduct state and local, taxes, really gets to the blue states more than the red, and everybody's heard about that. I'm wondering what other little things shake out of this that show that, you know, political power was being wielded, shall we say, a little bit Machiavellian.
Man, you put that all perfectly, and I don't know. In a way, I kind of want to design my own tax plan. It would be so small, and it would be only for the very, very wealthy, and we would cut spending as well. So in one regard, this is a false paradigm, this bill, compared to what was before, because there's still way too much power being used. And you pretty much noted Machiavellian surgical strikes against donor bases. That's pretty hardcore stuff. But the less power you give government or taxing authority, then the less of that stuff they can wield. Either way, like you said, it doesn't matter. It could be for you, but 12 years, even 12 months later, it could be flipped right on you or be worse. I'm happy taxes will go down. For me personally, they'll go down, hopefully, help the economy. But still, you know, I'm not really applauding this thing that much.
Yeah, I mean, they're going to sunset it, and that's the thing. There'll be political leverage on the back end and whether it will continue. I think major portions, if I understand correctly, they all sunset. So it's like a temporary stimulus type thing rather than a fundamental permanent reform.
Oh, really? Okay.
I believe there's parts that are like that, but further reports pending on that one. The only place I take exception with my co-host of the Patriot Power Hour is the, you know, the statement you made about if you had your druthers, there'd be, you know, only the wealthiest of the wealthy were taxed. And, you know, fundamentally the quote unquote progressive taxation model is probably, you know, majority of Americans do adhere to it and have internalized it, so they don't even think about it. But I personally believe this republic would be on much firmer, long-standing grounds if the tax base was broadened to its maximum, so that the maximum amount of people have skin in the game, that the maximum amount of people are paying, and they know, and if it's an equal share, a 10% slice of everybody, then the skin would be in the game. And the other thing that I would do if we were going to, you know, really radically change the tax system would be put the day taxes are due on election day. Move it to the first Tuesday in November and see how attitudes with a wide, broad base of taxpayers getting to go to the polls on the same day they get to get polled by the government. See what that does for lowering spending in the long run. It may just become a thing.
That's really like a thing that we should push, because I love it. So that one I definitely agree with. The broad tax base, have everyone have a skin in the game. I guess I was speaking more towards the federal income tax, because there's so many other taxes that everyone does have their skin in the game. Property tax for your local area, state tax, all that. But I understand what you're talking about, because people, if they don't have skin in the game, they'll let spending and government corruption go crazy because they don't give a you know what. And so that makes sense. So you got to find a balance, and then, you know, I don't know, best intentions that get compromised away and become even worse. So it's a slippery slope. But minimize taxes, but people need to be in the game where they're, you know, we need to be responsible, and the best way to keep people responsible is to keep them involved. So, we're getting to time for our first break, actually, sir. So, I'm going to run some music, give out the phone number real quick, and we'll see if we get a caller. And then we're going to come on the other side, talk some other news. How does that sound?
Let's go for it.
All right. So, folks, the call in, here it is, 619-789-6804. Again, 619-789-6804. Press 1 on the dial pad to get on the air. I'll do my best to look out for you. And without further ado, let me get that one more time. 619-789-6804. This is what I meant to say. If you listen to this on podcast, and to be honest, I rarely listen to live radio anymore. I listen to tons of podcasts. It's more convenient. So I know a lot of people listen to podcasts. But this is a live show. It's not just a podcast. And if you call that number, 619-789-6804, anytime on Wednesdays, not anytime on Wednesdays, but Wednesdays at 9 p.m. Eastern, 6 p.m. Pacific, you'll be able to listen to our show live. Because that's when we air. Again, Wednesdays, 9 p.m. Eastern, 6 p.m. Pacific. Call that number. Get on the air. Talk with us. That number won't change each week, but we will be here each week And that's about all we got. So I'm going to get to some music, and we'll be back. Stick with us. Host Ben Cochran, Patriot Power Hour, featured Dan, a wingman. He's with me. He's there, sir.
On the Patriot Broadcasting Network. Yeah.
The PBN, Patriot Broadcasting Network, Patriot Power Hour, the flagship show. And we got a lot of stuff in store for 2018. Different shows, different guests, all types of stuff. Look forward to it. Man, I'm happy about it. But hey, we got to finish out 2017. It ain't over yet. Finish strong.
We got a nice lull in the bad news. And from a guy who runs the website that is always looking out for people by pointing out things that are headed our way that could be developing in a bad way, we're having a pretty nice December 2017. Good holiday season with relatively low news. I think right now we're carrying two ones that are of significance that should continue to be discussed. One of them's judicial system direly distrusted. That's just an alliteration that we use to kind of name a indicator. When enough of the public is thoroughly dismayed at the judicial system, this is a hallmark of countries that are unstable. It's really a status of most countries in the world. Think of Africa. Think of Latin America. think of many sections of Europe and Asia where people don't trust the courts.
Right.
So right now we're carrying a bunch of news there, Ben.
It's almost like parts of America are turning into that now, and from top to bottom, and that's exactly what you're warning about. So let's go to FutureDanger.com, take a look-see. FutureDanger.com. Those of you with us, if you're listening to us either live or, you know, within 24 hours, 48 hours of this broadcast, if you go to FutureDanger.com, you'll probably still see the indicators and articles we talk about, but they do roll off. It is kept quite fresh news at the top, so to speak. Always the long archive, though, which is great if you want to go back. So there we go, my FutureDanger.com. Judicial system direly distrusted on the left-hand side, all red. That's the second worst indicator. Let's see here. There's a little dashboard to give your, show what it is. So that's a severe risk. The worst is black SHTF, and there's no risk, low and moderate. So looking at a judicial system direly distrusted, I mean, there's not just one or two articles. Let me go through the headlines real quick. It'll take me like a minute to go through the headlines. There's so many of these hitting. So this is one big indicator that's still going crazy. FBI's Trump insurance. They're talking about shutting down FBI. I hate watching cable news, but I heard just in passing today, they were talking about a coup and deep state. I heard those words on CNN. You never heard that before. Top FBI officials to be subpoenaed for election corruption by House Judiciary Committee. McCabe draws blank on Dems' funding of dirty dossier. New subpoenas planned. Deputy FBI director's testimony to Congress contained numerous conflicts. Almost like we got a new indicator that just came up. Let's see. Oh, we got a refresh of Future Danger. Okay, just reloaded. Sorry, folks. House Oversight Chairman demands FBI lawyer appear before oversight following insurance policy text. That's what we were talking about earlier. Former Assistant FBI Director, patriots, quote-unquote, within the agency are set to expose Mueller and Comey. Ooh, we like patriots here at Patriot Power Hour, Patriot Broadcast Network. Hopefully it will occur. We'll see. And finally, judge declares mistrial in the Bundy case. That was awesome. I saw that. Says government willfully withheld evidence. So all of these under judicial system direly distrusted. What does that all mean, Future Dan? That's a lot of articles.
So you can tell it's, you know, 7 out of 8 or so are dealing with a thoroughly corrupt FBI under the previous presidential administration, influenced directly by the opposing political candidate, and still acting defiant, and Congress is coming down. We've seen this before with Fast and Furious. We see this before with IRS. The difference was in the Obama administration, from Eric Holder and Loretta Lynch down, they stonewalled it. They just said, we're not going to prosecute this. The big question right now is, can the Trump gain control of the DOJ? Will the AG that's there now do anything? This special counsel, where is it going? You would think Trump would have just shut it off if it was going to lead to any pain points. It's just letting it go, making hay, political hay. So that's a little snapshot. All those articles are within the last 5 days. We're running at 128 hours before news rolls off. So that indicator is highly elevated, and if they're talking about deep state on CNN, you know, perceptions are changing.
That was pretty surreal. I was like, wow. I just heard that in passing. That is something they never would have wanted to say or said at all just a couple of years ago. So crazy stuff. That's one of the big ones. Here's another one. It's not red. It's kind of your medium risk, I suppose. Cryptocurrency quashed. It has a big G20 sign with the 20 flags that make up the group of 20. The group of 20 finance and foreign ministers to discuss Bitcoin regulation. Department of Defense rushes to study blockchain as, quote, hybrid wars loom. Michigan Bank threatens to close account because of Coinbase purchases. Ooh, I haven't read that one. I'll have to look at that. So there's another one. Maybe not 7 or 8 red alert, but this is several in a row of some kind of middle burning. Any of them could pop off or all combine into a quagmire down the road. Very interesting stuff there.
Yeah, if you jump into the archive, which I invite everybody that's concerned with the topic of cryptocurrencies being repressed, this indicator, cryptocurrency quashed, carries reports all the way from last January of the percolating up of governments. They're feeling around, they're sniffing around, they're looking at what could be done. Militaries are getting involved studying it. You know, it's drawing the attention, and it's going to, for all the reasons we've talked about for the first five episodes of this radio show, Ben. We've talked about Bitcoin every single time. We launched the show at the first major spike of the cryptocurrency that leads the market. Yeah, it's interesting because France asked Germany to back it up in the G20 to bring it up as a topic. So now that when the top 20 finance ministers, translation for the U.S. Treasury Secretary, he'll attend, when they get together to talk, they're going to be talking about how can we do something about this. It's going to be coming up in 2018.
Oh, man, 2018 is going to be absolutely crazy. And, you know, I got my show, Breaking the Banksters, and I've been on for a couple of years, and I've talked about cryptocurrency for more than a year. Actually, geez, I guess I've been on the air more than 3 years, to be honest. Regardless, I've been talking about and been a holder, buyer and holder of cryptocurrency over the last few years, and an absolutely crazy year, but it went very well.
Check out that story of the bank not accepting it in Michigan. I saw that tonight and posted it about an hour before we started this show. It's from, I believe, Daily Sheeple or SHF Plan. Crack it open. Tell us what it's amazing.
Well, I got to look at that. Right before I lose the thought, I was looking back. Everyone's all hyped on this stuff. They're not looking at all the threats. You go to the cryptocurrency quashed on futuredanger.com, and you can go all the way back throughout 2017 of these articles from all different websites. You know, CoinDesk, where Congress studying a virtual currency linked to terrorism. That was in May of 2017. And you got a link in an archive of that here at Future Danger. So you got to check that out. But let's go check out that Michigan one. Michigan bank threatens to close account because of Coinbase. Hey, I use Coinbase. I don't use it anymore.
And the guy got a picture of the letter in the article. There's a picture of the letter in the article. I looked up the bank. It seems like just a, you know, a savings and loan type local bank, and their policy says no Coinbase transactions. How about that?
Let's see. Here we go. I got it right here.
Free market in action. Free market in action, I would say. If the banks are afraid of it, they'll block it for sure.
Yeah, well, this guy should leave this bank. Maybe that free market will work too. Lakestone.
Sure will.
Bank
this thing's going to disrupt everything.
This is from the Assistant Vice President, Loss Prevention Officer, Lakestone Bank and Trust, to Jordan B. Spencer, December 14th, 2017. Dear Jordan B. Spencer, all caps, his slave name. We are happy to have you as Lakestone Bank and Trust customer. Would like to fulfill your banking needs, but it has come to my attention that you are making purchases and receiving funds from Coinbase.com, a type of business transaction that is against Lakestone's policies and will need to be discontinued immediately. Blah, 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 blah. So they didn't actually close the account yet, but they pretty much said we will and we'll confiscate if you do it again.
Could be a fake letter.
Yeah, I mean, it could be for sure. But it could definitely be real too. I believe it could be real.
And that's part of how we grade the pieces of news. That one right there probably doesn't grade as moderately threatening, but still something to follow up on and pay attention to. Because if that stuff starts for real, it's on. The financial sector around the world is going to get radically revolutionized, Ben.
Oh man, I'm stoked. I mean, it's a double-edged sword for better or for worse, but that new technology has so much potential that you got to go forward and to the wild, wild west. So, all right, man. Well, we got to hit commercial again. Folks, stick with us. I do want to, before we go, real quick, though, plug that number one, we're going to be giving away some Bitcoin and some Bitcoin Cash, speaking of crypto, at the start of the next segment, if I can remember to do so. Please remind me, Dan, if I forget. That's my plan, to give away some Bitcoin cash to first responders to my little question I'm going to give on the other side. So look for that. And otherwise, futuredanger.com. Check that out. Follow along with us here. DethroneTheBanksters.com is my site. I'm going to go hit some music. We'll be back shortly. Keep the show rolling. Stick with us. Some bitcoins, Bitcoin cash, and then we won't talk about crypto the rest of the show, I promise.
Giving it away now, Ben?
Yes, sir. So I'm giving it away. First off, someone, you know, our first caller comes in, gives us a good conversation, question, or feedback. That's standing bounty, number one. We'll give some away for that. Number two, I'm giving away to the first two people to reach out to us via email, social media, whatever, and send us question feedback as well. So Bitcoin and some Bitcoin cash. If you don't have a wallet or anything, maybe this will be a reason for you to create a wallet just to get some of this. And, you know, we actually have a couple questions that from the last episode, so I'm going to give those folks some as well. So there we go. We got four written in bounties and a first caller bounty. So five bounties out there. What's the best way to reach out? And you can reach out to me or to you. So first for you, what's the best way for people to reach out to you?
info@futuredanger.com by email, @futuredanger6 on Twitter, and @futuredangerheatmap on Facebook.
Simple. Simple. info@futuredanger6
and futuredanger.6 on Gab.
Okay.
Gab AI.
Yep. I know several people that are activists and whatnot on that, as well as Steam it. I need to get my button gear, get on those. You got some easy ones for me. If you, as long as you can spell dethrone and bankster, you could find me pretty easy. But some people can't spell that, unfortunately. Dethronethebanksters@gmail.com. Yes, just go to my website, dethronethebanksters.com. Just search Bankster, Dethrone the Bankster, in Google or your favorite NSA spying machine. You'll find my site, dethronethebanksters.com. It has my email, Facebook, Twitter, all that fun stuff. So pretty much we're going to do a timestamp. If someone reaches out to Future Dan, and then someone reaches out to me, and then a third person reaches out, that third person, hey, we'll use your question or feedback on the show. I don't know if I'll be able to donate any crypto to you. You know, but we'll go by first come, first serve timestamp, all right? That's our deal to the listeners, Future Dan.
Yeah, sounds like a good deal. Good deal indeed.
No more crypto.
Somebody win the bounty.
Here's this. If you love silver and you hate crypto, I'll send you 2 ounces of silver instead.
Nice.
Your choice. Free shipping. 2 ounces of silver or equivalent in Bitcoin, Bitcoin Cash. Okay. If you don't like either of those, you can go.
Straight out of the Patriot Power Hour treasury.
Yes. You got to spend money to get the ball rolling. You know what I mean? You got to spend money to make money and to get the message out there, too. All right, so I think we're up to I'm gonna save listener questions till the end of the show. Got to remind me though if I forget. We got 2 really good listener questions, but until then, it's December 20th. It's the end of the year. Time for all the 2017 year in review. I think this is a perfect time. We still got 10 days till the end of the year, so we're kind of before the rush of everyone doing their end of year review. So let's put it on you first. What's the biggest, let's just say, top 2 stories of 2017 in your opinion?
So one is like a cluster of stories that we put in column 4, the fourth to the rightmost column, under natural indicators. And when we talk about natural, you'll see several indicators that seem to be all about technology. So when we say natural, it's about man's relationship to the world that we're in, including the creation of artificial intelligence. So AI in 2017 had to have been a breakout year, a landmark year. Imagine if you were like a historian dealing with the technological breakthroughs of the Great War into the 1920s, and just you were writing about great discoveries. That happened this year in AI, and it's among a cluster of other potentially dystopian technologies that involve, CRISPR gene editing, the various forms of artificial intelligence and how they begin to show that they're self-aware. Just this week the record was set for a frozen embryo being brought into existence.
Ooh, yeah.
As a human being. The whole scientific revolution in areas that are directly encroaching on, the sociology of mankind. We've watched it, and I would have to rate it one of the most, potentially, world-threatening in terms of your gestalt, your view of the world and everybody, the whole crowd we're in, the whole nation, country, the world, how you view things is getting shifted. Everybody sees the sex bot, articles on Drudge. But I'm talking about the deeper technologies that will really challenge my children's generation and their children's. It's a real thing, and in 2017 had to have been a pivotal year in it.
That's a great example. That's something that people kind of – it's flown under the radar, but it's also right in our face. And there has been a lot of info about this put out this year. But as compared to Trump and the hurricanes and this, that, and the other thing, that would easily be lost in the crowd of big news. But that is, like you said, huge ramifications for future generations, not just one or two. Pretty crazy. That's a good one. What about any other ones?
Well, I just want to touch on something about, the frequency that you see that news. It was pretty often. For example, machines become self-aware. That's an indicator. It's considered the turning point for technology, if it became aware of itself, it's now a being, and, you know,
okay.
the whole Skynet mythology. If you click on
right.
that and go to the archive, Ben, the behavior of this thing
okay.
is there's a lot of news every month trotting along, but it was always at the lowest level, green. And that thing is just, that's the way it's operating right now, a slow, low-intensity drum beat on people. And it's the type of thing that won't even get red hot for years, but we watch it. The other big one is the geopolitical situation in Asia, China, Korea's, Japan, Taiwan, and other actors that are, you know, seeing what side they might want to end up on, like India, Vietnam, Philippines, Indonesia. But those Asian countries right there on the rim, especially with what North Korea has accomplished in standing up a nuclear force in 2017, is the closest place to major theater war that we've been in. People don't realize this when they think of Iraq, the first Persian Gulf War, the invasion of Afghanistan and Iraq. Those are you know, relatively low intensity conflicts. They were occupations. The fighting was over quickly, and then we just occupied and fought the insurgencies, right? In the spectrum of war, that's considered low intensity conflict. Korea or a fight with China or China going into Taiwan or North Korea nuking Japan and then you know, the Japanese naval and air retaliates. That's on a scale that we haven't seen since the Korean War in that age's technology. But now this age's technology, far more lethal. China this week exercised warplanes in Taiwan, Korea, and Japanese airspace, I believe in the last 24 hours. This is December 20th. North Korea is there with ICBMs. All they got to do is MIRV them and then put them into subs, and you'll never get rid of them. And there's a lot of noise out of Washington that the strikes could happen. That's where we are at the end of 2017. Has to be second on my list and the number one geopolitical from my view for 2017.
Dang, great review right there. That is, we are at the precipice right here. But hey, seems like humanity has been for a while, but it keeps trudging along, which I'm happy about. But the underlying issues are not being resolved, so the pressure's cranking up. Well, hopefully we'll be able to do
this. This could be major theater war. Major theater war in a mid-intensity range. We're not talking high. We're not talking total. We're not talking nuclear exchanges, but we are talking enough bang on the planet Earth that the body count would be shocking.
If
any of those Asian wars kicked off, and we track them all separately as indicators of future danger, and they have long archives, each one this year.
The New World Order banking cabal, as it may be known to some folks. Well, guess what? Korea and especially Japan are major legs of that cabal. And if those are kicked out from under it, we'll see economic collapse in the rest of the West as well. And that could just set off a chain of events outside the Korean Peninsula. So I'm really worried of that type of stuff occurring next up. But hey, I guess you got to keep preparing and whatnot. So great. Great examples right there. I think listeners need to go research both those topics a lot more because they're often not reported very much in the news. But, I mean, hey, that's what Future Danger is all about, identifying those type of trends.
We look at them and collect the news, and it's a tool that's designed for people who really want to be prepared, Ben.
Legit. Very legit. I love it. All right. So I guess I got to give my big news items. You did way better than I can. I don't have any. Of course, crypto. But we already talked about crypto. I made a promise not to talk about it anymore. But you got to admit, many coins up 10, 20, 30 times. People are happy if a stock goes up 10, 20, 30%. But these are 10, 20, 30, 40-fold increases. So that's absolutely crazy. Was 2018 going to be the collapse or another doubling or quadrupling or more? Who knows? We'll keep you abreast here. But that's my, I guess, economic story of the year, but I also want to bring it to more of a bigger picture economic as my kind of underlying story of the year that not many people talked about, and that was the interest rate hikes by the Fed. And they were supposed to have 3 this year. They ended up having 2. It's a lot more than maybe some people would have gave them, you know, predicted they would have had, but it was still less than the official consensus at the start of the year. But, and I talked about this a little last week, you got to remember those interest rate hikes this year and at the a couple in 2016 were still very minuscule. Right now, the rate is at 1.5%, and the long-term average is north of 4%. So we're not even halfway there. And I think the analogy I came up with last week is really a good one. Pat myself on the back, I guess. If you run a mile, or, you know, 4 miles, I guess, but we'll just say a mile to keep it simple here. If you're running a mile as fast as you can, after you run, you know, a quarter mile or even a half mile, you know, that's the easy part. The hard part's the last quarter mile, the last eighth of a mile, especially if you're pushing yourself as fast as possible. And so what I'm trying to say here is they already got the low-hanging fruit from these interest rate hikes. It's going to be much more painful to the economy, kind of counteracting these tax decreases. I can't even believe it. Hardly. That is a tailwind, rising interest rates slightly. You got that. And of course, as the national debt continues to balloon, now the interest rate payments will be a lot more. So, it was a little bit, there wasn't a huge bang either way. But when you look at 2017 and the Fed, they were doing a holding pattern as best they could, did not fulfill their promises, but then it totally go against what they said they were going to try to do, but definitely they're running out of time, up against the wall, have got the low-hanging fruit, and I'm expecting a lot more pain from this interest rate hikes or the Fed folding and not raising rates into 2018.
Trump's going to say it was all Obama's debt. That's the future. 6 years from now, 4 years when he's running again, he's going to have to say that. And the only question is, can he run a surplus in his second year? If he runs a surplus and actually the government takes in more than it spends, if he does that at all, that's what he's going to say. He's going to focus on that. It's like, it's not my money that did that. That was from before. But there's no way the U.S. national debt can't balloon, is there?
It's just like a freight train, and there's so much inertia that even if they tried hard, if they applied brakes 100% or even 110% emergency brake, it would still be quite some time till you could turn a surplus. Given the fact that we've touched on this a little bit, given the fact that you're not applying full brakes right now in the federal government, there's a lot of factions fighting against Trump. Not saying Trump's doing everything great, but there's a lot of people fighting against him, meaning essentially internal bureaucratic civil war, and that's going to make it literally impossible to turn a surplus, in my opinion.
Mm-mm. We did it in the 90s. I think if you got what I talked about earlier, consecutive, like if there's any 2 quarters at 5% or higher in a row, I mean, the taxes that would be collected would be massive.
All right. If we can cut some spending and grow, that would be where it's at. Cut the spending part, though. That's the tricky part, I think.
I look at what you're talking about, Ben, under the indicator of the federal government defaults, the federal services are halted, a government shutdown. If it gets stark enough, there's categories of people that might not get paid. Government bureaucrat pensioners, contractors would be first, and the military goes unpaid. Or they start to barter. They start to give people – they can't produce the fiat, so they're giving soldiers, you know, extra things because they just don't make payments. That would all come with a default scenario. But I think one thing is clear. Trump said in his campaign once, why not just bankrupt on it? He's kind of made that threat one time.
Yeah.
If a president of the United States just said, you know what, everything the U.S. Treasury owes all y'all is no good. Yeah. Yeah, that'd be different for world history.
Different, for sure. I mean, Trump is the king of bankruptcy. He could make it happen, I think. I don't know. We'll see.
Don't tell me it doesn't occur to him.
Hell yeah, it does. It's Obama bankruptcy. He already had it trademarked, I think, that name. Hey, time's flying. We only got about 8 minutes left.
Listener questions.
Listener questions, exactly.
Don't forget them.
First, I'm going straight to it, and I'm glad you reminded me. Ready for this one? Joe W. Snooker. What kind of name is that? Joe W. Snooker. All one. Got him on Twitter. Predictions for 2018? I'll go to you first. Yeah, I know you don't like to make predictions per se, but Joe wants some predictions. What do you think?
Yeah, I'll make predictions. I just want to make it clear that everybody can read the archive and see the direction of the news. Nothing about future dangers designed to predict the future. Just want, as a full, just as a disclosure for the website. I'll take a shot at some. I'm going to need a second. The Congress is going to crack this judiciary, the stacking of the Justice Department. Corrupt judges, I think, are on the offing. As the Trump administration gradually seizes power, it's going to become in the interest of people who want to, continue to have a career to kind of obey the orders of their executive department seniors. So eventually you're going to see a peeling back of that. And Congress can help, right? Congress can, it's going into an election year, so they will help. There's going to be, the real question, Ben, if Trump wanted to, would he prosecute contempt of Congress? I don't know what the statute says, but if you start jailing people when they go up and lie in front of Congress, we'd see some of this go wide open. That's a prediction.
Oh, man, I hope it pushes that way. I mean, I want him to do things like that. I want him to lower taxes. I want him to do a lot of things. He's failed on some promises, has done a couple things. He just lowered some taxes. Hey, can't deny that. And if he puts forward things like what we're talking about here, if he actually does follow through with that, that's going to make me real happy. Good prediction. Good prediction. I think mine is going to – I might as well stick with the theme of 2017, but the reverse of 2018. I see a bear market or worse, at least for part of the year, in cryptocurrencies. So we may see 20, 30, 40, 50% downturn at some point in 2018. I think it'll recover, if not go beyond that, maybe within the year. So it may end up, you're still up year to date at the end of 2018. But I really do see a culling of the herd, a little bit of a profit taking, maybe a little panic from an exchange going down or some type of hack or cyber threat or congressional or G20 decree. So there's a lot of new money in. I think might panic, might see some big crypto collapses, which would be pretty crazy, but it's a wild ride. So that's my prediction. I think it's not going to be all roses for the cryptos.
Nice. And the best part about this is we can come back to episode 6 of Patriot Power Hour, clip some of these, play them to ourselves, and talk about how awesome or way off we were.
All right, we're going to do that definitely next year. Awesome. All right, we got one more listener question to finish out the show. Silvergeddon 83, are precious metals dead? I mean, I don't think so, but I want to actually have you answer this one, Future Dan. What are your thoughts on precious metals?
I think the crypto, as long as it runs, is going to have people doing short-term arbitrage. And I've seen videos on YouTube showing how when the prices vary in different places, so crypto's going to do that all year. It may go bear, I bet you, and where the profits are taken, shipping them off to bullion sellers who accept the crypto and shipping it to your home is producing wealth. It's totally untraceable. And I think that the volume of bullion moving around in this economy is going to increase. I don't know. Does that mean it's dead? I don't know if the real price will change, but more hands are going to have their hands on it if they can do that with crypto.
Very interesting. That's a very good response. I could definitely see that. One thing I've done with some of my crypto profits is just that, get some precious metal. And if it's not trackable, in my opinion, they can track it, but it makes it very difficult for them to track it. And
they
got to
work at it.
Yeah, I'm not saying skimp on your taxes, but you don't always have to volunteer everything so easily, do you? I don't know. Up to you to make that decision. But very interesting. Precious metals are never dead to me. They are elements on the elemental table. They are pure, the purest thing of nature, practically, at least at the atomic level and up. You know, silver, gold in particular, are something special. They're not fool's gold, for lack of a better term. They're not tulip mania. They are part of nature and have intrinsic value just from that. And that, for that reason, they're not going to ever be fully dead unless we bring in like a 50 billion ton asteroid of pure silver. But I don't think we're going to be doing that anytime soon.
You know, as long as the governments hold them in vaults and ship them on warships and hide the numbers that they have, I'm thinking it's worth something.
Exactly. Hey, it may not even go up in value, but if it just maintains its value, that may be worth everything in a collapse scenario in the future. So it's more of an insurance policy than an investment. So, all right, folks, Future Dan, we're going to get out of here. You got any last things you want to say? We got about 30 seconds. Listeners, reach out to us, definitely, though. Get that reward. Future Dan, what's going on? Have a good holiday. Go ahead, lead us out for the show.
Yeah, I got one thought that's a pretty simple thought that occurred to me today. U.S. law really compels you to buy stocks to have a retirement. And if that ever stopped being that way, what would all of this be?
Ooh, definitely.
That's my end of the year 2017 thought. Merry Christmas, Ben. Happy New Year. Talk to you at the beginning of the 2018 season 2 of the Patriot Power Hour.
Merry Christmas, listeners. Happy New Year. See you in 2018.